If you take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 42. Psalm 42, our text will be found in verse 11. And I've entitled this message, A Word to Cast Sheep. To cast sheep. I'm going to explain what that means in just a minute here, but let's read this text together. Psalm 42, verse 11. David writes, Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Now, when God was pleased to quicken us from the dead by His Spirit, we began to see our corrupt nature. We saw our nature. We saw the hopelessness that was in us to be able to be accepted of God. We saw the hopelessness of religion, of works, to merit God's favor. But at the same time, we began to see the beauty of Christ. We saw the glory of Christ and His salvation. We see the greatness of His person, that the Son of God was made flesh. We saw the perfection of His offering, how that by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. When we were converted, when we were quickened by from death to life, we saw the proof of our justification by the resurrection of Christ. I know I'm justified because God was satisfied with His offering. God raised Him from the dead and set Him on the throne of glory. But how did this regeneration and revelation come to you and me? How did we receive it? By what means did God use to convey this gospel to us? We know this. The Scripture is clear. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. The Word of God is how we came to know Christ, how we came to believe. It was the thing that God used. And I'll tell you that you want proof of inspiration of Scripture. You and I who believe are living proof of the inspiration of God in Holy Scripture. The infallibility of Scripture is that this, I was dead, but now I'm alive. There's proof of the infallibility of God's Word. The Scripture that was once detestable to us is now our companion and counselor. You want a counselor? Here it is. You want a companion? Here it is. It is the Word of God that is our counselor. It is the Word of God that is our companion. Now, before we may have held the Word of God in some type of reverence, we may have even read it, but we didn't understand it. We could not understand the Word of God. What is that Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 2? It says, The natural man receiveth not the things that are of God. Why? First of all, they're foolishness to him. I don't like it because it's foolishness. Now, why is it foolishness to you and life to me? Even because they cannot know them. They're spiritually judged. The reason you don't love this is because you're condemned. You're judged. You're dead. And the reason that we love this Word is because we are alive unto God. The reason we believe this Word. I believe this Word today. I trust this Word. This is the Word of God. Now, why is that? Because I have life. Faith is the evidence of life, isn't it? I believe. Once we're born again by the power of God, this was done through the preaching of His Word. What does James say? He says, Of His own will begat He us with what? The Word of truth. Peter says this, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Listen, by the Word of God. By the Word of God, he says, which liveth and abideth forever. It was by this same word we were convicted of sins. It was by this word we were enabled to believe on the Son of God. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17, it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now, how does He give this? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what is the riches of the glory of His grace, the inheritance of His saints, what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. You see, it is the working of the mighty power of God you believe this word. It is the working of God in you by which you believe. And so, what's the reaction of one who is given this power, given this ability? They embrace Christ. We embrace Him. We receive Him. Now what John says, as many as received Him. Now you received Him. Did you willingly receive Him? Willingly. That's funny, isn't it? Are you willingly breathing this morning? Well, that's just foolishness. Of course you are. And if you try to stop you from breathing, you'll fight to get breath. And so it is with faith. By faith we receive Him as the breath of our life. We receive Him. And He gave us the right to become the sons of God, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We were born of God. And now we say with Jeremiah, I like this, Jeremiah 15, verse 16, he says, Thy words were found. Did you find them? Now, how have you found them? Others, they don't find them. How did you find them? By grace and power of God, you found them. And what did you do? I did eat them. Why? I was hungry. Hungry for what? Righteousness. I was hungry for forgiveness. I was hungry for mercy. I was hungry for peace with God. And I did what? I ate them. Hate them willingly, freely. And Thy word, what was it? It was joy and rejoicing in my heart. For I am called by Thy name, O Lord God of hosts. So, if we have been quickened by the Spirit of God to life, if we've been redeemed and robed, redeemed by His blood, robed in His righteousness, let me ask you this. Does that free you from all trouble? Does that free you from any trouble? Are we now free from affliction and trial and difficulty? The answer, if you're honest, is no. Absolutely not. Not according to your experience and not according to this word. We do not only deal with common affliction. Listen, we do not escape any trouble. I mean, have you not found this to be true, believer, in your life, that the troubles get greater? As you grow in grace, don't they get more difficult? The afflictions become more painful? Why is that? Because the afflictions you have now are the most painful, aren't they? They're the most difficult. The ones you're experiencing in this present time are always more painful than the ones that went before. And why is that? Because you could not bear the ones now before. And the ones you are bearing now are designed by God to exercise your faith and your love. They're designed of God for your growth. We deal with these afflictions. But listen, we're not talking just common afflictions. That is one part of this, isn't it? Common afflictions. You know, I've said this a thousand times to you. A believer is never exempt from any trouble, right? We say that. And then, when we experience, now I know that's true for you, but when it happens to me, I'm surprised. How could this happen to me? Well, didn't you just say that you're capable of any trouble in this world? Yes, but I really didn't believe it. I believed it for you, but I really didn't believe it for me until it happens. And then you're forced to believe that you are prone to any sin. You are prone to any trouble, any difficulty. And these are not just common because our troubles are infinitely magnified because they're not just physical, they're spiritual troubles. We have spiritual enemies now. You have Satan, who is a spiritual foe, a real enemy. Do not underestimate him. You have a real foe. The world is against you. It hates you. It despises this word. It despises your Lord. You tell them how your Lord commands you to live, and they mock you. You have an enemy. They don't love you. They don't care for you. And you have another enemy, and that's you. Self. Philpott said self is the worst because you always carry self with you wherever you go. Self is with you. The old nature is corrupt. And so then, we have to face these troubles. We contend with spiritual adversaries. So great are our troubles. And we often find this. As David says in our text, why art thou cast down? Now, he is speaking here of his own soul. He's speaking with his own soul. He says, why are you cast down? Why is he cast down? Because he's experiencing trouble. Great sorrow. Great affliction. But what is the support? What is your support in great affliction? What is your support in great trouble? It is the same Word of God by which you were quickened. You want support. Do you want help? Friends, it is the Word of God that we're to turn to. The same Word that God used as an instrument to save us is the Word He uses to comfort us. It was by the Spirit of God. It was by the Spirit of God. He restores us from our sins, and by believing God's promises of free pardon and absolute forgiveness of sins, that by His grace, our backsliding and our souls are delivered from death. It's by the Word of God we are comforted and assured that we have His blood and righteousness. His blood to atone, His righteousness to clothe us. And so we are drawn to Christ by the words, by the promises of God. We are guided by the precepts of God. We are provoked by the rebuke of God's Word. We are upheld and supported by its power and promises. We walk by its light. Though the Word of God, it is not the Word itself, is it? I mean, people read this book all the time, but it's not just the Word, is it? It is the Spirit of God that takes the Word of God and makes it effectual. How many times have you read these Scriptures, and one day it was cold as ice? You come back later, you're in the midst of an affliction, and you read the same word, and it's effectual. Who did that? Who made that powerful to you? It was the Spirit of God. So what do we need? We need the Word of God, but we need the power of the Spirit to make it effectual to us. And so then, believer, when everything else fails, listen, the Word of God will not fail. Its promises still are never diminished. Its promises are yea and amen in Christ. Philpott said, its wisdom meets every case, suits every circumstance, fills every aching void, and is adapted to every condition of life and every state of the body and soul. And so now in this text, now you see, you were quickened by this word. It doesn't exempt you from afflictions. And when you're in affliction, where do you go? You go back to the same place
that God used to quicken you, is going to use to comfort you. And it meets every case. Isn't that something? It meets every case, every state, every circumstance. The Word of God surely is a mirror by which we see the reflection of ourselves. When you read this text this morning again with me, I want you to take it and see it as a mirror. David's experience, friend, is our experience. David's trouble. Now, we know that's not literal. I'm not being chased by a literal king. I'm not being hunted by a literal king. Though it may be a different situation, yet the circumstance spiritually is true. It applies to every case. And so we see the sad condition of David here talking with his own soul. Now, let me ask you this. You ever talk to yourself? You ever talk to your own soul? That's what David's going to do. He's talking to his own soul. And it's good. It's good you converse with your own soul. It's good. And I want you to see three things in this morning. First of all, I want you to see David's inquiry. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Second of all, I want you to see David's encouragement and admonition to his soul. What is it? Hope thou in God. And thirdly, I want you to see David's confident expectation. The dark clouds, he knows they will soon flee. And he says, I will yet praise him. And I want you to see that's future. That's not right now. He said, I'm going to praise him. It's coming. I will yet praise him. Why? Because he's the health of my countenance. He's going to restore me. He's going to heal me. Why will he heal me? He's my God. He's my God. That's why. So let's see these things. David's inquiry in his own soul. He says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Now, how valuable is your soul? Those who do not know Christ, it is definitely not worth the time or thought to consider. They mentally accept they have a soul, but they really don't have any desire. They have no pangs of life in themselves. They have no guilt of sin in them. They have no need of Christ. Therefore, their soul means little to them. Their soul is easily exchangeable for the lust of their flesh. It's like Esau selling his birthright for porridge. That's what a natural man would willingly sell his soul for, a bowl of soup. Our Lord says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? That's a good question for you who are outside of Christ. What will you give in exchange for your immortal soul? Believe me, you're giving something. You're exchanging something. But we who are quickened to life and faith, we know this, the soul is precious. It was precious because Christ purchased it with His own blood. He redeemed it. He quickened it. He keeps it. He gives us faith so that we should believe Him and love Him. So that we who are dead and cold are now living and tender. We find our sin, our corruption, and we find the salvation of our soul in Christ. We find that in Him. And the soul is valuable. And the intimacy of our soul is closer than all other earthly ties, isn't it? Is there anything more close to you than your soul? Believer, have you not often been convicted and have conversed with your soul concerning the guilt of your sin, the pains of life? Surely we may talk to our own soul, reason with it, comfort it, encourage it, rebuke it. Oh, how our soul does often speak to our minds. Sometimes David said, my soul refused to be comforted. Sometimes our soul even refuses comfort, doesn't it? We need comfort in our souls. And even our souls, David said, my soul at one time was so distraught that it refused to be comforted. What should you speak to it? What are you speaking? You speak God's word to it. You speak God's word to your soul. No wonder David sought his comfort, his joys, and in the Word of God. David's soul here was cast down. It was cast down. So now he seeks to find out the cause. He said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Now, I want you to understand this word cast down, because that's why I use this in a title, a word to the cast sheep. This word cast down, when you read it, David is talking about a sheep that has been what is called cast. When a sheep is cast, it's because he's too fat. He gets too fat. His wool grows too fat, his belly grows too fat, or she's about to give birth to a lamb. What happens is they fall over on their back. To be cast is the sheep to fall on its back. You know what? A sheep cannot get up. Once it's cast, it cannot get up by itself. And if left there for any length of time, it will die. This is what it is for a believer in trouble. We are often cast. We are like a sheep on our back, struggling to get up and cannot right ourselves. Are you cast? Are you in such a strait that you cannot get up? David said he was. Why art thou cast, O my soul? He's seeking a cause. What is the cause of you being cast down? And you may ask your soul the same thing. First of all, one thing that causes us to be cast is sin, isn't it? The guilt of sin. There's nothing that casts the soul of the child of God more than the guilt of our own conscience. O my soul, art thou cast down from the heights of joy and gladness to the depths of sin and sadness? Are you made to see more than I tell you what, when you grow in grace, what do you see more of? When you grow more in faith, what do you see more of? You see more of your sin. You see more of your sin. And what does this do? It causes us to be cast down. You see, as the sheep grows the wool, what happens? It falls over. And so the more we grow in faith even, we know this, that we begin to tip because we see the sin of our nature. And it causes us to fall over. Are you made to feel the filth of your nature? Are you made to feel the decay of this mortal frame? That causes you. Another thing that causes you to be cast, do you find so much more sin working in your mind and manifesting itself in your members? Do you long to walk in holy conversation? Do you long to put off sin and never be entangled again, only to find yourself disappointed? This surely is a common cause for being cast down. Sin. Sin. O my soul, are you continually mourning and sighing because of how little you see the image of Christ stamped on your heart? This surely causes us to be cast. Temptations of Satan cast us down, don't they? Those fiery darts that stir up our corruption, his flaming accusations against our conscience, so that we are made to doubt our salvation. How many times has he tempted us and we fail miserably? How many times you said this while you're cast down? How can I be a child of God? How could I do such things as I've done and still consider myself a child? What are these but the accusations of Satan against you? Sometimes we pray for Christ's manifold presence and we cannot feel His presence. Doesn't that make you cast down when you cannot feel His presence? You long for grace and only feel that you're continually lost. Do you long to see the smile of His face and hear the voice of His lips but cannot hear Him? In this psalm, David's hunted. He says, I'm like a deer hunted, and I long for God like a deer panteth for the water brooks. He longed for the presence of God. He longed for the joy of His salvation. He could not find it, and he was cast down. He was cast down, and he could not right himself. He could not make himself to see these things. The troubles of providence, those cast us down, don't they? Surely we can be cast down in our souls because of providence. Heavy trials of family and business and friends. They seem all against us. Notice what David said in verse 7. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Providence is... He's hitting me once. He's hitting me twice. Three times and four times. The waves are overwhelming him. There's no end in sight. As deep calleth the deep. How deep is the water? How much water you got to wash over me? An infinite supply of waves constantly beating against his soul. That could cause you to be cast down. How about the Word of God and prayer seem a burden and task? Don't that cast you down? Don't you feel cast down when you try to pray and can't? When it seems as though the windows of heaven are closed to you? When it seems the Word of God is nothing but an iceberg and you cannot receive any of it? Does that not cast your soul down? David said, when I'm able to pray, this is what I'm going to ask. Look at verse 9. He said this, I'm going to say to God, my rock. This is what I'm going to say. If God gives me the ability ever to pray again, this is what I'm going to ask. Why hast you forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of mine enemies? That's what I want to ask God when He listens. And surely, these are sure reasons for the soul to be cast down. And the effect of these troubles are this, a disquieted heart. He said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why? He said, why art thou disquieted within me? He's speaking again to his soul. Why are you disquieted within me? The word disquieted, it means this, to mourn aloud. Now listen, how many times have you been able to mourn inside and not express? You can have a smile on your face and be crying inside. David said, I couldn't do that anymore. He said, my heart was so disquieted within me that it poured out of my eyes. My tears could not be held back. My heart had to cry aloud. A heart and mind without peace. We go into God's house. That's what he says up in, look at verse 4. He said, when I remembered these things, I poured out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise with the multitude that kept holy day. He said, I went to church. I heard the Word of God. And you know what? That didn't help. I saw their joy. I saw their praise. And I couldn't enter in. I was disquieted. I began to mourn aloud. So now then, listen, we see the cause and we see the result of being cast down. Your soul is cast. You can't get up. You can't do anything because of sin, because of self, because of Satan, because of circumstances. There are many reasons we're cast down. And what does this produce? A disquieted heart. You begin to bleed like the sheep. You begin to cry aloud because you can't right yourself. And so let us now, in this moment, speak a word of reason to our souls. Are you cast down? Listen to me. Are you cast down? Then speak a word of reason. Are you disquieted within yourself so that you cannot do anything but mourn and cry? I'll tell you what. This has a purpose, friends. Listen to me. It very has a purpose. Does it not show you the vanity of this world? Does it not show you the vanity of sin? That sin never causes any... The pleasure it causes is never worth the destruction it creates. That's what the being cast does. It shows us the reality of our condition without God. And listen, I don't want you to think about this. You're not the only one. You're not the only one that has ever been cast down. Paul said this, that we through much tribulation should enter the kingdom of God. This is common. This is common for the saints. And so then, what is David's admonition and encouragement? Now then, you cast down. You're disquieted for many reasons, whatever reason it is, that you are so cast down you cannot get up. Now, David is going to give you some comfort. What does he say? What's the encouragement? Look at your text. What does he tell his soul? What should you tell your soul? Here it is. Hope thou in Oh, soul, if you're cast down and disquieted, this is the only remedy. This is the only place you'll find comfort. Hope in God. Hope in Christ. Now, I want you to listen, but not to me. Don't listen to me. Listen to God. What is God's remedy for the downcast soul? Hope thou in God. Set your eyes not on the trouble, but on the hope. What is the hope? It is Christ, the shepherd. What is the sheep's hope when it's cast? It is only that the shepherd will come and right him. That's the only hope he has. He can't depend on other sheep. You never saw another sheep riding another sheep. That's been cast down. You never saw it. Never going to happen. I can't help you right yourself. And you can't right yourself. What is our hope? Our hope is that the shepherd's going to come. And David is confident of this. Listen, hope in the shepherd, he's coming. The shepherd will come and right the downcast soul. Set your eyes on him. Remember, to be cast down is not to be cast away. It's different, isn't it? To be cast down is not to be cast away. In Hebrews 13, verse 5, it says, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. In Psalm 94, and verse 14, it says, for the Lord will not cast off His people, neither will He forsake His inheritance. So then, listen to me. Do your sins cast you down? Behold, the Lord Himself has purged your sins. Now what the Scripture says, by Himself He has purged our sins. By Himself. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made, what? The righteousness of God in Him. He has purged our sins. How can God, having justly punished our sins, justly punish them in you? He can't. He said, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered into the holy place once What did he do? Having obtained eternal redemption. He obtained eternal redemption. Therefore, comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord. What is my comfort to you who are downcast? Hope thou in God. What should you say to your soul? Hope thou in God. Now, when you're hoping for something, have you received it? Not yet. Otherwise, you wouldn't be hoping. In other words, he's still on his back. He's still on his back. And what is he doing? He said this, hope in God. Hope in God. God will come. The shepherd will come. That's faith, isn't it? The shepherd will come and right me. Why? My sin may have knocked me over, but he will not kill me because of my sin. He will not kill me because of my sin. Are you cast down because of the old man of sin and corruption that drags you down to the earth? Hope in God, Paul says. Why? There is therefore now no condemnation. Those are in Christ Jesus. You see, when he comes to you and you're cast down, he's not going to look to you and say, well, I told you so, and walk away. That's what you would do, and that's what I would do. That's not what he does. You know, I saw a video. I showed the kids on the way. I saw a video of a cast sheep. This little boy, little kid. He was making a video, and he saw this sheep out there, and the millie was just belly up, moving his feet, trying to get over. She couldn't roll over. And he comes up to the sheep, and he says, what'd you do to yourself? What'd you do to yourself? Missy, what did you do to get in this condition? And then the little boy, he gets down there, and he pets the head of the sheep and says, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Calm down. It's going to be all right. You know what the little boy does? Takes his hand, and he just, boop. A little kid. How easy was it for him to ride the sheep? How easy it is for the Savior. What's impossible to us is so simple for him. It's an act of mercy. It's an act of kindness. It's an act of love. And he says, while he's on his back, the shepherd's coming. The shepherd's coming. Hope in God. He's coming. He'll write me. Is it providence? Who's in charge of providence? Why are you on your back to begin with? Is it not God who orders all things in providence? Scriptures are quite clear. It is. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. From ancient times the things were not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand. And what? I will do all my pleasure. Why are you cast down? Why will you be righted? It's His pleasure. Hope in God. When dark providence, when Satan attacks you, when Satan tempts you, when Satan robs you of your comfort, what is it? This is what he says about you, thou art fair. Thou art fair, my love. Thou hast dove's eyes. You know what that means? You're so faithful. He calls me faithful. And there I am, flailing on my back. He's faithful. So what is our hope? Listen. He that loved you, he that chose you, he that redeemed you, he that called you, he will keep you. He that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to finish the work. That's how you can hope you're going to be right. Now listen to what he says, David's confident expectation now. What is his confident expectation? He's hoping in God. Now what is he going to expect? He says, for I shall yet praise Him. I will yet praise Him. You know what this is, right? It's future. When you're on your back, I'll tell you this, you're not praising, you're complaining. But what is his hope? When he writes me, guess what I'm going to do? I am going to praise him.
He is going to receive all the glory for putting my little fat rear up on my feet again. He's going to get all the praise. Now, in that little video I watched that kid, he pushed that sheep up, and that sheep took off, and he said, "There's the sheep I ride." And the little kid said, "You know, you'd think that she'd be thankful." But he said, "That's just sheep." Isn't that sad? How many times has he righted us, and yet we refuse to praise him? David says this, "When he rights me, this is my determination, I will praise him. I will yet praise him. I will praise him on my back, and I will praise him on my feet. I will yet praise him. Soon he will come and bring me out of this darkness into his light. Soon he will bring me again to my feet. This is my hope. This is my hope of my soul." If we hear and believe His Word over what we see and feel, He will do all He promised to do. How do you feel? I feel cast out. I feel rejected. I feel cast out. It doesn't matter what you feel. Listen to what God says. Believe what God says. And God will adjust your feelings later. Believe Him. Trust Him. He will forgive you. He will keep you. He will hold you. He will love you. This is my hope. And I will yet praise Him for it. That's our determination. But notice this. He also has hope of health. He said, "Look, I know this. I'm going to praise Him, but I also know this. He's going to heal me." Isn't that what He said? He said, "I will yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance." The health of my countenance. Believe on God, who is the great physician, who is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. Is He not in the healing business? When has God been out of the healing business? Huh? When has He ceased to be Jehovah Rapha? Never. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is the Lord that healeth thee. He healed thee. He is healing thee. He shall what? Heal thee. He shall heal thee. Are you cast down because of sin? Listen. He will heal you. Are you cast down because of the darkness of your providence? He will heal you. Are you cast down because of lack of His presence and lack of prayer and lack of reading? He will heal you. Why? That's who He is. He is the God that healeth thee. And David is confident. He is the strength of my countenance. When my countenance is down, I know this. He's the strength of my countenance that I will continually look to Him. And listen, why will He do this? David said this because He's my God. He's my God. Even in this downcast condition, He is still my God. Even when I sin, He is my God. When I cannot feel Him, He is my God. When I cannot see Him, He is my God. Oh, my soul, is this not enough to lift thee up? Speak to your own soul. Why are you cast down? What's the cause? What's the result? You're disquieted. You cry aloud to God. What is the hope of being saved? You know, if you don't throw that sheep over soon, he's going to die. And God understands this. The shepherd understands this. He knows your plight. He knows where you're at. He puts you there. What is your hope? It's in God. What is your hope? My hope is this. That I'm going to praise Him. My hope is He's going to heal me. And my hope is this because one reason.
He Himself has willed to be my God. He said that right in the covenant of grace. I will be your God. Now, why was He your God? He said it. I will be your God. And you are my people. The sheep of my pasture. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. His word shall not fail you. Why? He promised. Believe Him and all will be well. Then go to a world that's dying His perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes on Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will go strange in the light of His grace. Whose soul are you cast down? Are you disquieted? Holy God. He's coming. He'll right the cast sheep. Why? He promised. He promised. He's faithful. I pray God will bless this to your soul.